It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
A prominent baseball podcast recently posed a question that might be uncomfortable for Cardinals fans. Could this summer be the time to trade Nolan Arenado? We'll talk about it coming up on Bischaff Daily. What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to this edition of Bischaff Daily. Brendan Schaefer here with you. I am recording this here in the evening hours on Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. We'll probably release it sometime on Thursday. I'll say this off the top for those who have not listened deep into the recent podcasts. This is a weekend off for me from live shows or daily shows. I'll be in Atlantic City. I'm in a wedding for my best buddy this weekend, and I won't be back until Sunday night. So you won't hear from me much, if at all, on the YouTube channel as it pertains to the Cardinals series against Milwaukee. There will still be plenty of Cardinals content and other content on the channel, though, as well as on the Spotify feed for Bischaff Daily. So stay tuned. Just know that we're going to react together to the Milwaukee series when we get back, when I get back on Sunday. But I've got scheduled posts and lots of good stuff that I've worked on to bring you guys with from some different radio shows and some different things that you probably haven't heard yet. So stay tuned to that. But I wanted to get into a Bischaff Daily here that is not necessarily going to pertain to what's going on in Milwaukee, right? Because we're going to ask a question that could be difficult to face for Cardinals fans, but I think a lot of folks have already allowed themselves to go into this place mentally and wonder if things continue on the trajectory and the path that they're on for the Cardinals right now, if this might be the time this summer to trade Nolan Arenado and get something for him while you can. This was something that was discussed on Talkin' Baseball. I believe it was today or yesterday, recently, because I saw the clip pop up on my Twitter feed, and Talkin' Baseball is, I think, part of the John Boy family of podcasts and baseball content. A lot of people probably familiar with their work. And so I thought, well, if this is being talked about on a national level, I should probably weigh into and let people know where my head is at on this. And it sort of delves further into the idea of whether or not the Cardinals will be buyers or sellers at the deadline. And obviously, as I record this right now, there's six games under 500. By the time you're listening to it, maybe the first Milwaukee game has gone off. But the Cardinals are in a spot right now where, generally speaking, they're not doing well. They're in last place, again, as of this recording. They've just lost Wilson Contreras. They're in a spot where, yeah, technically they're three and a half games out of a wild card spot, but how genuine, how earnest do you think you could be in your contention for that when you look at this offense right now and it's a team that just hasn't done much? It has not been consistent. The players you thought would be there have not performed, whether young, old, or intermediate. They haven't gotten the production 1-9 outside of Wilson Contreras, and of course now he's injured. So you can ask the question, all right, are you going to be sellers at the deadline? Are the Cardinals going to sell off some assets? And sure, maybe. Maybe that ends up being something that we see from this team. But then what does that actually mean? Paul Goldschmidt is a guy on a short-term contract, lack of team control because he expires, or his contract expires. That sounds kind of bad. I won't even go there. His contract expires at the end of 2024 and making him a free agent. He's not performing in a way right now that would indicate very much trade value. I would still say even a struggling Paul Goldschmidt, you could ship to somewhere that could use him as either a bench bat or a DH or a reserve first baseman, somewhere like Goldschmidt's going to make a team better with his presence. and maybe a change of scenery helps him. If this Cardinals team is out of it, I think you trade Goldie. I think that's the right thing to do by him. If he's OPSing 550 like he is now, maybe there is literally no market for him. I can't imagine he's this bad all year. And again, anybody acquiring him may not need a starting everyday first baseman, but you want to face Paul Goldschmidt coming off the bat in a playoff series? You know, you may say, yeah, right now. I think October, maybe a different feeling about that could emerge. So I don't think it's crazy, even with the struggles, to say Cardinals trade Paul Goldschmidt, they get what they can for him, acknowledging that with the way things look right now, it wouldn't be much. However, in a world where they are truly selling, then you open yourselves up to the next tier of player as to what the Cardinals' interest level would be in potentially moving those guys. Maybe before you do that, you would get to the Kyle Gibson, the Lance Lynn crew, and say those are guys also on one-year deals, and if they're performing well, you could consider that the team acquiring them might enjoy the idea of a club option or a mutual option, whatever it is, to potentially get those guys on the cheap if they're playing well. So you maybe trade those guys too. We'll see. But I want to focus in more on the guys on multi-year agreements that still would have some team control attached. Ryan Helsley is an interesting one, because if you were going to trade him at his peak and he's performing still in July the way he's performed so far, now would probably be the time to do that. And if you're a team that's looking to retool a little bit into 2025, how vital is it to have an elite closer? You know, you could have it. It never hurts. It never hurts, especially if you're a team with young talent that maybe next year's a different story. The Cardinals bare bones it, but they have some young guys that actually step up rather than maybe perform below expectations like we're seeing them do now. The Athletics, for example, have Mason Miller as their closer, and it feels pretty good when you're the Athletics and you've got a lead in the ninth because you are probably winning that game. Even if they're not really a team ready to contend in every other regard, still nice to have that piece. But the Cardinals are paying Ryan Helsley, and he'll be a free agent before long. So maybe there's a time to say, hey, a playoff team that wants to really go for it, they'll give up elite prospects. Remember, the Royals got Cole Reagans, who's one of their best starters now, for 2 months of Aroldis Chapman last year. Worked out for the Rangers, too, but I think that's something that you would think about with Helsley. Arenado's the interesting one because I don't think it's as simple as teams would just be clamoring to go after him. Depends on the performance, and right now, as I record this, you look at Arenado, and he's the one guy on the team outside of Wilson Contreras that I would say had expectations for him, and while he's maybe not meeting those expectations, his numbers are passable. He's given you enough, right? And maybe you'd say like a Mason Wynn's in that category. You didn't expect a lot out of Mason Wynn, so I don't feel like it's apples to apples, but 740 OPS for Arenado is not where he wants to be, and I don't think it's where he'll end up. It's even below the 774 OPS he had last year, which, you know, the end of last year was really just not good for Nolan, and had some slumps, obviously, during other portions of the calendar. But 740 OPS and good, whether he wins a Gold Glove or not, he's that caliber of defender for sure, and he's only 33, turns 34. Well, he just turned 33 in April, so a young 33, if you will. And the contract situation is such that you might think, well, if he's not performing, it's an albatross of a contract, kind of like when the Rockies traded him. You didn't get a bunch of prospects in Colorado because they were really just angling to make sure they dumped the money. And they even went as far as to pay down some of the contract in order to ensure that they, in the midst of a rebuild, did not have to be sunk into $25 to $30 million a year on Nolan Arenado, who was still a great player at that time, still might be one, but they also felt like get something for him and be out from under the money. That's a win-win. Let's go ahead and do it, Cardinals. I don't know if the Cardinals were going to trade him this offseason, or pardon me, this July, if they were really going to accelerate things. I don't know that it would be the same situation, because when you look at the contract, the Rockies are paying down a portion of it still, right? You have a little bit of a decrease on what you're going to owe him because the Rockies gave you all that money. I think the money has been delivered. I don't know that, I could be wrong on this, but I think it already happened and it then gets allocated out. But $25 million or so is the baseline luxury tax value. But Arenado's contract is interesting in that it is a declining contract value. It's not one that's backloaded. It's almost the opposite, where when you count the money being paid down by Colorado, it's something like $21, $16, $15 million as the Cardinals work their way down to the remainder of this. And then there's deferred salary as well that you do have to consider for the next, you know, 8 or 9 years after. I mean, the deferrals are kind of crazy, actually. If this is right, according to SpotTrack, $30 million of the 2022 through 26 salaries deferred at $3 million per year. Arenado will be making money until 2041, which is kind of crazy. The deferrals, I think it's, you know, the present value of money is always higher, but those guys don't mind the deferrals. I'd love to be 20 years retired from the league and still making $3 million for something I used to do. You know, that's kind of cool. I understand, though, the time value of money, that ends up being team friendly. And I think it ends up helping the luxury tax balance as well. My point is, though, the contract on Arenado is not actually the Albatross anymore. And it's not that it ever was, but the Rockies felt like it was. The Cardinals, I think if this is right, you find different numbers from different places you look here.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I think I'm looking now at Baseball Reference. $32 million next year is the baseline, but five of it by the Rockies, and then I think another portion is deferred, so the Cardinals don't have to pay it just yet. $27 million for 2026, another $5 million paid by the Rockies, more deferrals to kind of lighten the load on the actual calendar year in which that will be paid. And then 2027, he's got a $15 million salary. They added it prior to 2021 after he was traded. It was almost like a sweetener to say, I'll waive my no trade. Even though the Cardinals are where he wanted to be, the player always is going to have leverage in those spots. So he gets to waive the no trade. They add an extra year at $15 million, knowing that, like, okay, if nothing else, you can, if Arenado at age 36 is cooked, that's at least a hefty buyout, right? Where if in 2027 he's not able to on the open market command $15 million, he knew on the front end that he would be getting it anyway, right? Like if he continues to play pretty well the next couple of years, I think he'll want to renegotiate a deal with, if he's still with the Cardinals or wherever he is, or he'll go into free agency. The preference, though, I think would be to renegotiate that as a $15 million because he can probably make more on the free market. But it's interesting that that was baked in the way that it was. It's not an option. It's just guaranteed money. So I assume the thought would be contract gets reworked before it ever gets played out, but maybe not. Maybe that's just the way that the contract was done, and they said that's fine to do it that way. Both parties were into it. So either way, it does make it a little bit more interesting if you were to trade him, because pay him a lot, decent amount in 2025, 2026, It's even less. It's only like $22 million. And again, with the deferrals, it ends up being less. 2027, if that ends up being a year that you expect him to play on a $15 million salary, that's not a noose hanging around the neck of any team that would look to trade for him, even if he was declining as an asset at that point. But Arenado's interesting because he's playing pretty good defense, and the numbers, while the power hasn't been there, he's a 280 hitter at this point, in 287. On base, 350. All he needs is pop a few dingers, and suddenly he's Arenado of old. And has been coming around a little bit in that regard. Hit a home run recently, but he's only got two on the year. So it's one of those deals where, what's his power going to be if you're a team acquiring Nolan Arenado? What's it worth to you? Good third base defense and a light hitting 280 with good on base numbers is not going to set the world on fire, but it's also, you know, the pedigree that Arenado brings to the table. So there might be teams, when you consider the contract, he's controllable to an extent. It's not crazy because of all the different teams that will be paying him money at this point if you were to trade him. I think it just boils down to the performance and teams that are looking to win a World Series would say, yeah, I'll give up prospects for that guy. Market value-wise, his contract's not crazy moving forward. I don't think it's a case where the Cardinals, especially if he's performing. Now, if he's not, it's a different question, but if he's performing, I don't think the Cardinals would be told by teams, well, you know, he's got all this money he's owed. No, it almost becomes an asset to the deal to say that Arenado is under team control and you don't have to worry about re-signing him for a number of years. And honestly, you know, you deal with it at the time, figure out what you want to do as far as an extension or not, and maybe he doesn't feel too happy about if a team that acquires him doesn't want an extension. Maybe he forces one when the trade happens, right? Like, he had that leverage the first time to add the extra year when he went from Colorado to St. Louis. Maybe a similar thing could take place. But if there's a Dodgers or there's another team out there that, yeah, you plug him at third base, even if you've got a decent third baseman, you plug him in and you're getting Gold Glove caliber defense. And if you've got an already, you know, like a ready-built team to win, Arenado doesn't have to bat third or fourth. He could bat fifth or sixth in your lineup, and suddenly you are just a remarkably deep lineup, right? And the Dodgers is always the team that I feel like we talk about because everything that happened last year around the deadline with all the hinting and the wondering of would the Cardinals make a move then, the Dodgers were interested. I think it was kind of contrived by LA media more than anything else. But it's interesting. Like, Max Muncy is out-hitting Arenado by 180 points on OPS, but he's kind of their third baseman now in Los Angeles. Shoot, I would probably take defensively Arenado over Muncy, just calling it without really digging into the numbers. I think that probably makes sense. But I mean, my goodness, imagine a lineup where you're going Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Muncy, Arenado, Teoscar, or Arenado, Will Smith. Like, you could really have a... I mean, Andy Páez is hitting out there for this team. I mean, it's crazy what they've been able to accumulate in LA. So maybe the Dodgers don't feel they even need him, but even if you didn't need him, why wouldn't you take him? I think is the question. And would you be willing to give some talent, some young up-and-comers that would make it worth the Cardinals' while? I think there'd be a market for Arenado, especially if he continues to heat up with the bat the way that he's done. Even if he's hitting 290, 295 with 10 homers at the deadline, that's not his usual power production, I think teams would be into it. So, okay, if we've established that there could be a market for Arenado, what would be in it for the Cardinals as to doing it right now? Because if they're talking about this on national podcasts, it's like, is this just the topic that won't go away, but it's got no legs? Or is it something that the Cardinals, in a world where they're really not competitive this year, should ultimately be willing to consider? Because I didn't mind it, and I thought it was right last summer when they said, no. We're going to put the kibosh on all this Arenado tuck. This might not be our year, but this is a quick turnaround for St. Louis. And I think that's the only thing you could sell at the time if you were John Mozeliak, even if you end up being wrong about it. At the time, I think they owed it to the fan base to try. And you can make your bones about the extent to which they did try in this offseason. They signed Sonny Gray. They signed Lance Lynn. They signed Kyle Gibson, Keenan Middleton. They made some little adjustments and some trades to try to stack the deck in a little bit more of a favorable way. Didn't really do much to the offense, but didn't think they had to. And maybe that ends up being their fatal flaw. We know the way things are going for this team offensively right now. And it's what's holding them back largely. In addition to, you know, just the awful situation that they had coming into the offseason from a starting rotation standpoint, to where they had three guys and you still end up with Mats and Michaelis in that rotation. And I was understanding of their desire to give Michaelis another opportunity here because they're already paying him to do so. But then that maybe reflects more on the contract itself and the extension that they maybe didn't need to do. But they also felt like, shoot, we're going to have to fill three spots anyway. Having Michaelis be one that's at least known, feels like a known commodity, would be prudent. And, you know, his skills maybe have declined and he's not been as consistent. And so now you're worried about that spot. But nevertheless, like, my point with this whole line of conversation is that I don't mind that the Cardinals said, no, we're not going to sell on Goldie and Arenado last July. It's incumbent upon this franchise and this front office to fix it, and that's what we're going to try to do. So we don't want to sell guys that can help us win in 2024. That was their mindset. You can always use hindsight to say, well, they didn't win in 2024, if in fact they don't win. And they would have gotten a hell of a lot more for Goldie then than now when he's not performing, and maybe the case could be said for Arenado, although his numbers could end up still being better in 2024 than they were in 2023. it might be easy to look back and say, yeah, they should have traded him because now we know the way it played out. Now, there are a lot of Cardinals fans who would tell me they knew then the way this would play out because there were a lot of you, and I will say I remember it. I'm not trying to play revisionist history and pretend like it didn't happen. A lot of folks did come in, and they were skeptical. I think people were willing to get on board because spring is the season of hope and belief. So even if you had your doubts, you were ready to go with this Cardinal team day one, and then the season started, and we just haven't seen it go the way that you wanted it to yet. And so you can lean back on saying, look, I kind of had my doubts anyway, which makes me a little more frustrated that they didn't trade off the assets in July like Arenado and Goldschmidt that they maybe could have gotten something for. I just think that at the time, the Cardinals weren't in a spot where they really could have sold that to a fan base at large, not just the folks who were maybe forward thinking about, hey, this is not a contender in 2024 either. On paper, it's just I just don't see it. And a lot of people felt that way. I'll give you your credit. But I think the fan base at large and the people that buy the tickets, you trade Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt in July last year here. Yeah, all right, good luck. Good luck because the attendance is already kind of a noticeable thing that has declined. And if you had made those deals 10 months ago, I mean, you can forget about what the attendance would be looking like now. Might have the same record. Might have the same record. You know, I can't say for sure that you wouldn't, depending on how they would have backfilled some of those holes at third base and with Goldschmidt at first. Maybe Burleson has been an everyday player and he's outproducing Goldschmidt. You know, maybe you don't lose a lot. Maybe you're still 15-21 or 16-20 had you made those moves. But I think you'd have a fan base that's even more apathetic. Now, the apathy is going to set in if Goldschmidt continues to struggle and if this team continues to play poorly and doesn't win enough games, that apathy is going to be there anyway if it's not already. But I still would look back and say, I'm not necessarily defending it, but I understand and I agreed with it at the time that the Cardinals didn't think they could sell it. I didn't think they could sell it to a fan base that they're going to trade their cornerstones after, you know, the first time they start losing and have a true losing season in, you know, 20 years or whatever, that's going to be the moment that you cut bait on two franchise cornerstones. That's how those guys were viewed then. Maybe Goldie's not viewed that way now. And look, he's not under contract beyond this year, so very possible that this is the end of Paul Goldschmidt in St. Louis if things don't pan out. And I do have another a Goldie kind of podcast that I'll post on the YouTube channel later on this weekend. But I'm just reiterating that I felt like at the time it made sense to...
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Try to sell the fan base on, we're going to give this a go in 2024. And the reasons don't matter, by the way. The reasons, if it doesn't pan out this year, don't matter. You can't use the Contreras thing as an excuse because Contreras was playing incredibly, but your team wasn't. It's not like you were playing great and then you lost Contreras and it all went to hell. We don't know what's going to happen right now, but we do know that the Cardinals weren't performing before they lost him, so you can't lose him and then say, well, that's why. And especially if it's John Mozeliak, he can't say that. I mean, he just can't. He's got nowhere to hide. He had to fix it. It was up to him. If he didn't, he should step aside at the end of this season. I don't need him to step aside before that, although I do think it's a conversation that if you decide, hey, it's going to be another sell-off at the deadline, who should be in charge of that? Should it be Mo or should it be the guy that's coming after Mo? The problem with that is I don't know if you'll know in time if you'll have time to line that up. Now, if it's an internal option, you would. If you're going to promote Gersh or if you're going to promote Randy Flores or if you're going to give the reins to Chaim Bloom, which would be my prediction, and for the record is what I think they should do if they're going to go a different direction. I think you really do need a shift and a fresh voice. It's not to say that the other folks in the front office aren't quality, but I think you need to go in a bolder direction, and Chaim Bloom is the closest thing to being able to do that. And maybe that's why they wanted him in as an advisor anyway. If they thought, hey, if this isn't going well early, to task Mo with trading off more pieces at the deadline when he's not going to be around in the organization to see it through, maybe wouldn't be fair. Maybe by June, Heimblum takes over, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's a consideration or not. I might be reading way too far into hypotheticals at this point. But I do think, while Mo never will be fired per se, I do think that it just wouldn't be fair to the Cardinals organization to have a second losing season, to continue to tell fans to be patient, and then you sell off again and still get to finish out the contract for 2025. I just don't think that would sit well with a lot of people. So it is up to John Mozeliak to fix it. And I understand that nobody saw this coming. And you're going to say, well, I saw it coming. I knew they would be 29th in offense. Okay, sure. At any rate, I don't think that the reason that they're struggling was going to be at the top of everybody's list February 1st. If you were told, hey, the Cardinals are going to be 15-21 on May 8th, May 9th, why do you think it is? They would have said, well, the pitching plan didn't pan out. Mozeliak got these bottom of the barrel starters, and yeah, Gray is a nice piece, but they just didn't get enough around Gray. And so I bet the rotation bottomed out. You know, okay, that might have been probably answer number one for a lot of people. It's not what's happened. The rotation's not perfect now. Miles Michaelis is a problem right now with the way that he's performing, and I just don't feel like you have a lot of confidence in him going out every fifth day to be able to win a ball game and to do it on the strength of your pitching rather than just sort of hoping and praying you score enough runs. Miles is just not, he's not been getting it done lately, and maybe he finds it, maybe he doesn't. But I just don't think the rotation would be the thing now that you'd point to, even with the cracks that are beginning to show in it. I think it would have been everybody's first answer back in February. And the reason I know that is because I was doing podcasts then, and that's what a lot of people were telling me. They need another starter. They don't have enough. I don't like the specifics of the guys that they did get. I don't believe in Gibson. I don't believe in Lynn. Those sorts of thoughts. Clearly, they could have used another one. But I continued to think, and that's why, too, when we say the Cardinals didn't really go for it all the way to fix it in 2024, they did things that, if everything breaks right, it could have been fixed, and maybe it still happens. Who knows? But they didn't go all in because a lot of people were saying, well, you can't have Matz as your number five starter. I don't trust him. I don't trust him to stay healthy. And I said, totally hear you. They said they were going to get three starters, and they got three, so I'm not saying it's right, but they're not going to get a fourth. And they're paying Matz already, and they're paying Michaelis already, so those guys are going to be in the rotation. And that's what's happened. If you were one that was harping on those two spots, you feel pretty vindicated right now because those are two spots holding you back. And when Mozeliak made those comments in spring, I think he said it to me directly on the patio there in Jupiter when I asked a question in a group scrum. Basically, they said, look, the five that we got are the ones that we want to ride in our rotation. We're not, you know, we've got some guys, every team does, but we've got 8, 9, 10 starters that we could, we've got guys that are options to go to if we need them, if our starters break down, but we want to see our five kind of carry us. And that was a noble thought, but it doesn't happen. It's not realistic. Even if they signed horses, well, they did. It seems they did because Gibson, Lynn, and Sonny are looking like exactly what they bargained for. The two they had are the ones that are breaking down. Michaelis, from a performance standpoint, and Matz from an injury standpoint, but also on performance too. So it ends up being a different reason than you thought, perhaps, although part of the reason that Cardinals fans were worried was the back end of that rotation, and you're vindicated on that as well. But regardless of the reason that it ends up not working out, if it doesn't work out this season, I just think Mozeliak needs to be willing to look at it for what it is and probably graciously step aside. Would not have been able to save his legacy in the end. He'll have a very mixed legacy for a lot of Cardinals fans. Still think he's a shoe-in red jacket when the day comes, but there would be a segment of fans that are going to need some time, I think, before they will forgive the ending of his tenure if this is, in fact, the way that it ends. But I look at it and say, if the Cardinals are losing and you're trading Goldschmidt and you're selling the idea that we're maybe going to have a transition to a Heimblum type, a guy that's going to maybe have to work under some payroll constraints if Bill DeWitt decides that's the direction we need to retool because we're not drawing fans the same way. We don't know about the Bally stuff, and frankly, our edge as an organization has been lost. We need to take a year, maybe two, before really reinvesting, which seems crazy for a guy, Bill DeWitt, at, what, 82 years old? You know, you'd think he would want to be prioritizing these next few years when he's had his has his best vitality, right? Which is not to say, I mean, I'm sure he's in great health, but that's, we don't know, right? And when you get up in age, you want to think, man, if I owned a team, I'd want to get the most out of it while I was able to enjoy it the most. And he's always run this team like a business, right? People say it's like a hedge fund. And there's been a lot of positives that have come out of that, but just that desire to just get the dang team back into October and have them do something when they get there doesn't always coexist with, hey, got to make the most prudent business decision at a given time. And the prudent decision might be for the Cardinals to take stock of why they haven't been able to have the development edge anymore, be it with pitching or with their outfielders or with their prospects that don't always thrive when they get to the big leagues. Like, what's going on there? Does it take a year to retool under a new guiding hand? And if that is the case, is it fair to look at Arenado and go, well, you just got to be along for the ride, buddy? And even if they would prefer to do it that way, does Arenado, quote unquote, force his way out? Does he say, whether it's my agent is going to go to bat for me and start stirring some stuff up, which is not to say that would happen, but you could just see a scenario playing out where if the Cardinals are largely admitting that it's a step back, it's not necessarily one that I think Arenado should be willing to put up with if he's turning 34 next April and wanting to win a championship at this point in his career. Now, you could maybe say the same about Wilson and about Sonny, but I feel like those guys are both going to be on board. I don't know why. I just get the sense that they would be, especially if the Cardinals sold them, hey, we're going to rebound with payroll in 2026 once we get a look at the young guys that you guys are going to help usher along. This is not a step back so much as it is just a momentary shift in direction, and we're still going to be great within the next couple of years. And you can try and sell that to guys, veterans on your team, and maybe you get the buy-in from everybody necessary. You know, maybe they do decide that Ollie Marmol is not the right manager and they go for something splashy like a Yachty or like an Albert Pujols, or, you know, two guys that have maybe said they would be interested in being a big league manager, like a Matt Holliday. Bench coach wasn't enough for him, but if he gets to have the big chair, maybe he would be. I don't know. Everybody that listens to me knows that I'm particularly fond of Ollie Marmol and think he can do a good job, but you're tested at your most when things aren't going well, and they didn't go well last year. They're not going well this year. Is Ollie going to be able to bring the Cardinals out of it? I do think he has to be judged on merit at a certain point, but I also do not put a lot of what's going on at his feet. If you do it as a Cardinals fan, then that's your prerogative, but I'm just saying there could be ways that it gets sold to the veteran players of the organization, a little bit of a retool, if it should come to that, and you could still have the buy-in from those players. I don't know that Arenado is one of those players. Like, if you're just asking my opinion, I think he's so antsy and he wants it so badly that his inclination might be to go, you know, if it works out with the timing of the team and they're slashing payroll anyway, I'd go to the Dodgers, or I'd go to the Padres, or I'd go to, you know, whatever. Maybe he wants to go back to Mike Schilt. I don't know. I know they have Machado. I'm just throwing out examples. West Coast would probably make sense for him, right? So, I don't know what you Cardinals fans think. Are you ready to see it if it comes to that? If the Cardinals are on a pace where they're, you know, 12, 15 games below 500 in July, would you see it if Arenado is heating up and has a lot of value to a contender? That might be the best time to do it rather than in the offseason. Do it while there's urgency, if he's playing well. I could see it, guys. I really do hope it doesn't come to that. I'd like to see the Cardinals figure out a way to keep the core together. I don't know if that involves Paul Goldschmidt. You know, at the beginning of the year when I would have this conversation, my thought was more along the process of, well, look, if Goldie's going, Nato's probably going to be behind him because he doesn't want to necessarily stick around if the Cardinals are selling Paul Goldschmidt at the deadline or, you know, not re-signing him. It probably means that they're going in a direction that's not going to lead to immediate success.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
And it's probably because Goldschmidt's such a great player that they're, you know, trying to get something for him. Right now, it's kind of more along the lines of, yeah, they're maybe heading in a direction that doesn't inspire immediate success. But with Goldie, it's if they move on from him, it would almost be as a favor to him rather than because they're maximizing his value. Just because of where he's at right now, he's not performing at a high level. So I don't know what the trade value would be. Clearly, it's easy to look back and go, yep, they should have traded Goldie when he still had some real value. I don't know what they would have got for him. I don't know if the Baltimore Orioles take a plunge on Goldie last year. They've got a bunch of position players now, but maybe they would have liked him as a first baseman. That kind of seemed like there could be a match there. I don't know. It's a spot where you just hate to think about it, but the Cardinals and their fans have had to think about a lot of things that they don't want to think about over the past, 14, 15 months, whatever it's been. And a potential Arenado trade, I think, is part of that. It's going to become part of the lexicon. It already was last summer, and the Cardinals awkwardly handled it. They tried to sidestep it. They don't talk about speculation until they had to and said, no, we're not trading Arenado and Goldschmidt. Okay, on the record, you did that. Now we're seeing the fruits of that, decision, and it's not necessarily bearing a lot of fruit for the Cardinals. I'm not criticizing the decision because it's the one that I would have made, but their inability to turn this team into a winner the following year now has a lot of scrutiny on what's the future for Arenado, and doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense with the timeline of the organization. If they do have to admit there is a bit of a retool that they're about to embark upon, does Arenado feel like that's maybe something he doesn't need to be involved in? And can the Cardinals coalesce with that viewpoint of, hey, we can get something for this guy and jumpstart what this retool could look like? Let me know, Cardinals fans, what you think. Again, it's hypothetical because this team needs him right now. Right now, they need Arenado. They need Goldschmidt to turn things around. They need all these guys to perform so that they can avoid the doomsday scenario. Even though I've made the commentary that for the first time of the year, I am of the opinion that in a binary choice of yes, they will, or no, they won't make the playoffs, I'm on the no, they won't side. But that's not the same as predicting that they're dead and gone. There's still a lot of season left, but I'm skeptical that with the pieces they have and without Contreras and with, a rotation that's done a solid job but hasn't been perfect and has two spots right now that are major question marks, I just don't know if there's enough momentum there that the Cardinals can just do it themselves and turn it around without a spark. And instead of a spark this week, they ended up losing their biggest spark to a 6 to 8 week injury in Wilson Contreras. So that's going to be the invitation to a lot of this speculation and different conversations as to whether Nolan Arenado might be available. And I think you can sell the defense, you can sell the 350 on base and the 290 batting average, and if he just gets a little bit more slug going, Arenado could have value. I mean, he's a 113 OPS plus right now, 13% above league average. I know that doesn't say a ton because for his career, he's a 122. And we've seen a bit of a drop back for him, but it may not take long. He has a great week, and suddenly you're going, yeah, look at those numbers by Arenado. Teams are going to give up something for that guy, and it's maybe not too far along where he is only 33. It's not like he's over the hill age-wise, and you can make a compelling case that now could be the time if the Cardinals are already going to be a team looking to maybe take a step back. And then I guess, again, the next question would be who should be allowed to be responsible for an Arenado trade? We know Chaim Bloom, if he ends up getting considered for the role, for the head executive role, he's already got it on his resume that he traded Mookie Betts. Now, that one didn't go great in Boston, and you can make the case that he was ultimately let go for how badly that one turned out. But it's also not his fault because I feel like ownership was sort of dictating that and saying, we're not going to be able to re-sign this guy, we're not going to pay him, so get what you can. Almost saying it without saying it. Like, hey, well, the payroll needs to be this. Mookie Betts is going to make, what's he asking for? Okay, I can do that math. Even if you don't tell me explicitly you got to trade Mookie, you are telling me that there's not budget to bring him back. So I'm Chaim Bloom. I'm going to do the best I can to get something for him. Maybe even if it doesn't happen this July, if a guy like Chaim Bloom takes over, maybe that's a November trade that happens and he he ends up taking on that unsavory role of having to be a guy who trades away a franchise player once again. And fans that might not like it. Some fans might think it was necessary because of where the organization's at. But someone with the tact to do a move like that, he's done it before. He ate the crap for it that everybody gives him when I still don't feel like it's fully his fault that it happened the way it did. Maybe he's asked to do that again in St. Louis. Maybe he goes, no, I'm not taking that job because I see the writing on the wall that that's what would have to happen. Maybe he knows the deal and is willing to take it on because he thinks he can turn the Cardinals around. Maybe John Mozeliak gets his team to, where they're not sellers at the deadline, and it's a different question of, all right, you didn't sell at the deadline and you didn't lose at all. You didn't have a terrible season, but you also didn't make the playoffs. You won 79, 80 games. What happens now with John Mozeliak? What happens now with the next step for an organization that did the retool? They did the on-the-fly, let's fix it with pre-agent pitching and trust in the young development of our position players and make a go of it in 2024. It didn't really pan out. It didn't happen. This isn't an October baseball team, if it should come to pass that it isn't. And so what ends up being the determination from not only how the front office feels about that, but the folks who employ the front office, ownership, does a second losing season in a row make it clear that the direction of the team is such that trading Arenado is maybe not so crazy? Because it would spell further disrepair of where the team is at, where the org is at, than just chalking up last year of 71 and 91 to, here are the reasons it happened, World Baseball Classic, we had new catcher, we had this, we didn't anticipate how much it would be a problem to lose Yachty, to lose some coaches. You could paint a nice picture of why last year didn't happen. Happens twice in a row, people aren't going to want to hear the explanations. Even if they aren't excuses, even if it's just an explanation at that point, people won't want to hear it and I'll agree with them. It's time for a change and a shift in direction if this year doesn't turn around. But does that coincide with maybe saying, hey, the way to jumpstart that is trading one of the few guys that may be a real asset in a trade market, Nolan Arenado? Let me know, Cardinals fans, what you think. Let me know in the YouTube comments below. Make sure to hit subscribe in the lower right-hand corner of this video and to follow B-Shaped Daily on Spotify as well. You can also find the ad-free versions of all these podcasts on Spotify. I used to put the links in the description here on YouTube. Not getting a ton of traction from those links, but I've had a few people say, hey, how do I listen uninterrupted with no ads to the podcast? And I get that DM occasionally. You be the next one, at BSchaefer12 on Twitter, if you want to support the podcast by becoming a monthly subscriber to the Spotify version of it for uninterrupted episodes. I will get the YouTube channel memberships going as well. A lot of different perks are going to be involved in that, including bonus episodes, badges and such on the channel, shout-outs and more. I just don't want to, I feel like it would have been kind of cruel to release that today. I think it's about ready. But to release it and then go away for 4 days where I'm not like hands-on with YouTube, once I release that, I want people to be able to ask me questions and pick my brain about it before they sign up. So I'm going to do that next week, I think is the plan. But that's going to do it for this edition of the show. Appreciate you guys so much as always. We will talk Brewers series on Sunday, but stay tuned to the podcast feed on Spotify and to the Brendan Schaefer St. Louis Cardinals writer YouTube channel for plenty of videos that I've packed up and got ready to go for content all weekend long. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on B-Shaefer Daily. Peace.